All right, back we are here at the Red Berenson Show for a Tuesday at Pizza House on Church Street here in Ann Arbor, and we're joined by number 20, our player guest for this week, Cooper Marody. His line mates call him Coop. Coop? When they want that puck, right?
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks.
Okay, well, you're back after your sick, illness, whatever it was, a mono, and it doesn't look like you missed a stride. How did you stay in such good shape?
Oh, well, I was definitely out for a little bit, as you know, with the mono, and it was tough to hear the news, and, you know, you want to be out there helping your team, but there's nothing you can do about it, so I just took the time to really watch the game and learn from my past games of how I can be better. And I think once I was given the okay to start working out and everything like that, I really worked hard and got back as soon as possible.
Well, and you were reunited with Tony, and you guys connected a couple of goals this week.
Yeah, that connection never really went away. Tony just goes in the right spot to get the puck, and I see him, and he puts it in. So it's a pretty good relationship we have there.
So when you fight hard and you lose two games like you did this weekend, there was a lot of goals. You know, how do you regroup as a team? What did you say in the locker room? What do you guys talk about?
Well, I think the thing we got to take away from this is, it'll help us for when we're in the NCAA tournament, and we know that we can't just outscore every team and we can't come back every single time. And I think it's a good lesson to learn now, to where once we get in more crucial situations of the NCAA tournament, the Big Ten tournament, we'll know how to face it, and we'll prevent it.
This is going to be a huge weekend series with Penn State. They're a tough team. They're a big physical team. I know you guys beat them earlier in the year, but this is a month later. So how do you prepare for a tough and rugged team like Penn State?
We kind of think of it the same way. We're definitely going to stress a little more on the defensive side of the puck this weekend, and that's a big focus for us because of the results of the last couple games. And I think we're just going to focus on what we do best. We're a fast team. We're a skilled team. We can score, but we also want to really have a good defensive weekend. And I think the coaches have challenged us with that, and we're ready to take that challenge.
Well, you guys, not you because you weren't on the team yet, but Michigan struggled against Penn State the first couple of years here in the Big Ten. In fact, I think they had the worst record against them. And but yet this year, it seems like Michigan, when they went out when you guys went out to Happy Valley and to Madison Square Garden, it looked like you were on a mission. You guys were really on a mission to prove that you could beat that team, and you can, and you did.
Yeah, I know. I was at home watching the game, and it was just killing me. Play at Penn State and then Madison Square Garden, one of the most iconic venues ever. So that was definitely tough for me, but I think we really wanted to prove that Michigan's a big-time team this year, and we're going to make a run at it. And we played on a big stage. We were getting a big stage, and I think the boys really came together, and we had an unbelievable weekend, and looking forward to continuing to doing that.
Talk about your captains, your leadership of your team. And I know you get more leadership than just the captains. Tyler Mott's a typical example of a 100% hockey player that's a 200-foot player. But I want you to talk about J.T. Compher and his two senior alternate captains and what they provide as far as leadership to you.
Oh, they've done a ton. Going into college and higher level of hockey, there's so many things you're nervous about, worried about. And I think they welcomed all of us freshmen in so well, made us feel comfortable, gave us some pointers. And I think it's even the stuff that they don't say to us specifically, like things like riding the bike after practice, getting that extra 20 minutes in, just things like that. And JT, Boo, and Selman all have a good full ice game. They play defense hard. JT specifically, I've learned a lot from him this year. Just how he plays hard on the puck always, just always competing around the ice, and not even to mention all of his skill and his offensive side, just his defensive side. I learned so much from all those guys, and I'm a good friendship with all of them.
And you've seen lately where Justin Selman's defense has turned into offensive opportunities.
We had the chance to play together, and he made a good play intercepting a pass and then giving it to me, and I scored, and Solomon and I are very good friends off the ice, too, so we love playing together.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you for it. This is tough. This is tough. Okay. I'm going to ask you for a one-word description of the captains individually. First of all, J.T. Compher, one-word description.
One-word description. Complete.
Complete. Okay, complete.
Do you want me to elaborate on that?
Well, I was thinking bulldog, but go ahead.
Well, I think, I mean, off the ice, guy's going to raw school business, great leader, great hockey player, and that describes his game completely. He's complete.
Great. Okay. Boone Evis.
Boone Evis. I don't think I can do one word. I think fast and funny.
Fast and funny.
Yeah.
So he's a team comedian?
I don't know. I don't know about that, but we sit together in the locker room next to each other, and he gives me a lot of good laughs.
Okay. And that kind of relaxes a player before a game,
doesn't it? Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You got to let that stuff out. Okay. Finally, Justin Selvin.
Fashionista.
And of course, you know, it's a big Saturday night for these guys, and you know, the two seniors and Steve Racine, and it's always sad. I know they're going to be sitting dressing on Saturday night thinking, man, where did the 4 years go?
Yeah, I mean, it's you're going to be very emotional. I remember when I was playing for St. Mary's and Orchard Lake St. Mary's in high school hockey, and we lost in the playoffs, and just looking around the locker room, seeing the tears of the seniors, and it's going to be very emotional for them. It's going to be very emotional for us because we've built great relationships with them this year. So we're looking to enjoy that last home game, but continue to have a long push into the postseason.
Now, I've been around here a while, okay, and every year they have this fundraiser called what?
I don't know which one you're thinking of, but I think maybe Mock Rock.
Mock Rock. Now, did somebody from your team sing during Mock Rock?
Yeah, I think so.
And who would that be?
Yeah, that'd be me.
Can you give us a few bars?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll save that for after the first victory against Penn State. You can sing in the locker room on Saturday for seniors, okay?
I like the sound of that.
All right. Coop, thanks.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, and best of luck to you guys this week. And I know you're working hard. I watched practice today for a little bit, and you guys are really in tune.
We are. Thank you for having me.
All right, Cooper Marody, number 20. Watch for him this weekend against Penn State. We're back in a moment on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. Okay, I'm back on the Red Berenson Show as we're waiting for another alumni guest to call in. And we're also waiting for Adam Augenstein, who is from the Big Ten, and he's going to give us a little preview on the tournament next week in St. Paul and how the seeds are lined up, what times the games start. And let me see a show of hands. How many are going out to the Big Ten tournament? Okay, I am. I know Red is. Jeff is. Okay. All right. Michigan has had 8 overtime games this year, and they've won 3 of them in a shootout. They've lost 1 in a shootout. They lost 3 in overtime, and 1 ended in a tie. So we got to stay away from them overtimes. They haven't been good for us. And now we have on the line from the Big Ten is Adam Augenstein. And, Adam, how are you? I haven't seen you since early in the year.
Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on here.
Okay. Now, you guys are a big showcase next week, and I wanted to get you on here to tell the fans on the ticket availabilities, number one. Number two, the times of the games, which are going to spread over 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, tickets are available through your standard locations, whether that's Ticketmaster, whether that's the school ticket offices. You know, all the action starts on Thursday, St. Patty's Day. We've got games at 4 and 7:30 Central Time. The number 1 and 2 seeds will have a bye into Friday's game. They'll make their debut also at 4 and 7:30 on Friday before our championship game at 7 on Saturday.
Okay. Now, the seedings, we do not know yet. The seedings, of course, are the first two teams get byes. And Minnesota, I believe, has earned one of those already. So there's just one up for grabs, and that's between Michigan and Penn State. So we have to find out how that works out this weekend. Penn State cannot end up in first place. Michigan still can. And so, but we do know that the fourth, fifth, and sixth seeds. So which is at the is it the number 3 versus 6 at the earlier game on Thursday or the later game?
We'll know the times for sure once we're able to set the bracket this weekend. So at this point, still TBD on that angle. But no, what you're saying is exactly right. At this point, we've got those two byes. Minnesota was able to lock up one last weekend. You know, that other bye is going to come down to that series that you guys will watch this weekend between Michigan and Penn State. You know, you're obviously the Wolverines still have a chance to clinch the Big Ten title this weekend, although they'll need some help from the Badgers up in Minneapolis. But, you know, here's the thing. We're in year three of Big Ten hockey. It's the third straight year. The race is going to come down to the final weekend. You know, we've had some great races, some great competitive hockey, you know, even in the young history of this conference so far.
Let me ask you this, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but we hockey fans are kind of interested. Any plans or talking to anybody about expanding the Big Ten?
Well, I don't know that there's anything specific to discuss at this point, but, you know, here's what I'll tell you. I grew up in Wisconsin, so I was a Badger fan since I was 5 years old. So, you know, as I hear the fans voice a little frustration at how things have gone through the first 3 years, you know, I get it. Certainly understand that things haven't come together quite as quickly as perhaps people would have thought, and that, you know, we're still waiting to see what the final picture of Big Ten hockey is truly going to be. But the thing I'd emphasize is that it's only year three, and this is still a transition process. So, you know, we hear those frustrations, and we're certainly looking to do whatever we can to improve the product both on the ice and off the ice as well.
Okay, Adam Augustine is our guest here from the Big Ten. And Adam, what I think the biggest challenge is to these teams that are in the Big Ten is trying to schedule 14 non-conference games and have them a quality game on the schedule. And I think that's what's the most difficult place. And even if one team could alleviate a few non-conference games.
No, without a doubt. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a math problem. You're describing it pretty accurately. So, you know, it's ironic that with so many non-conference games, the margin for error in non-conference play actually goes down. So if you have a team who loses a handful of games, you know, suddenly that's hurting the ability of the entire conference to get multiple teams in the NCAA tournament based on the formula that's used. So, no, you're 100% right that it's a math problem I think we agree that you're assessing it correctly.
Okay, Adam, we look forward, of course, to seeing you next week, and we hope to be seeing you later than earlier, if you know what I mean. And
absolutely.
In either case, I know you have a good crew there. You guys have ran two good tournaments in a row so far, the one at Joe Louis and of course, at the XL 2 years ago. And but it's a difficult job that you have to make sure that all the teams are comfortable coordinating all the events and the things that go with it. So we want to thank you for that. And do you have any final thoughts?
You know, just I'm looking forward to another great conclusion to the regular season. Now, ironically, if you earn that number one seed, you might have to face one of the hottest teams in our conference based on the way that Michigan State and Ohio State have been playing the last, you know, 3-4 weeks. So, in a one-off tournament like ours, anything can happen, and should be an exciting weekend. So hopefully we'll see plenty of fans in Michigan jerseys and cheer on your team.
How are the ticket sales going so far?
I actually haven't seen any numbers, so I'm not able to provide much of an answer on that one. But, you know, it's a world-class venue, a great place to have some games. You know, all of our programs have some history there, whether it's NCAA or even just the prior Big Ten tournament. So, you know, we're excited to see what new memories get made this coming weekend.
Adam, thank you very, very much for us to borrow a few moments of your time so you can talk to the Michigan fans here, and we look forward to seeing you this week.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, Adam Augustine of the Big Ten. And let's take a break right now, and we'll be back with more of the Red Berenson Show on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. All right, back once again at our final segment of the Red Berenson Show as the coach joins us again. And on the line, we're proud to introduce a former Michigan Wolverine defenseman. He wore number 27, and he was on those great teams of the 90s. And his name is Blake Sloan. Hi, Blake.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good, Blake. We saw you last week in the Twin Cities, and you're living there now. You were doing a little coaching last year. Tell us what you're doing. We have a big audience here. despite our last weekend. And they'll be anxious to hear what you're doing now. You're the class of 97, so how are things going now that you're not a hockey player?
Well, things are going quite well. I was pretty blessed to be able to play hockey as long as I did. I retired 2 years ago and was in the process of trying to figure out what my next adventure in life would be. It took me a little bit to find my way, but in the meantime, I was doing some coaching. I coached at a local high school in the town I was living in, Wayzata High School, who just won the Minnesota State High School 2A championship this past weekend.
Wow.
So I was really proud to kind of be a part of that for the last couple of years. Although this year I wasn't helping out very much because I got kind of a great opportunity to do something different. I'm working for a company called ATI Group here in Minneapolis. And ATI Group is a privately held company who owns 43 separate specialty contracting companies around the U.S. So for this first year, I'm doing a 7-week rotation at 7 different companies for 1 year. So right now I'm actually calling you from Duluth, and I'm up in Duluth for the next 12 weeks doing a rotation at 2 different companies that they have up here.
Wow. So it sounds like a management training program.
Exactly. And I've only been in it now about 4 months, and it's been a terrific experience, and some of the things I've been exposed to have just been fantastic. And, you know, every day I kind of drink from the fire hose and I go home and my head hurts, and try to figure out exactly how to come back the next day. And right when I start figuring out what one of the companies is doing, I'm off to a different company and a different in a different capacity. And, you know, like, for example, the one company I'm at right now does mechanical contracting for huge boilers and power plants and stuff. So the other company I was at did fire protection, design-build projects, like, you know, huge hotels and the Viking Stadium, for example. So anyway, it's been fantastic. I've been enjoying the heck out of it. And, you know, thank goodness Michigan provided me with a pretty good education that I could jump into something like this and be reasonably successful, hopefully. So.
Well, good for you. On another note, of course, we're all thinking about hockey this time of year and playoff hockey. What are your best memories at Michigan in terms of playoff hockey?
Oh, gosh. We were very fortunate when I was there that we played on some fantastic teams. We went to the Final Four 3 out of the 4 years that I was there. And, you know, I remember a lot of those games like they were yesterday. Obviously, you know, the highlight being the 96 team when we won the national championship in Cincinnati. And watching that puck go in when Brendan Morrison scored that goal. And I remember Ryan Bach, the goalie on Colorado, was kind of on the side of the net. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, it's laying right there. And how long it took for that.
We remember. That's right. We remember.
And I remember it going, and it was only probably a 10-foot shot, but it seemed like it took 30 seconds for it to actually go in. So I remember that, and you know, more specifically, I just really still keep in touch with a lot of my classmates. I was recently in Green Bay and talked with Harold Schock. I had dinner with him and his family. Jason Botterill was in town last weekend doing some scouting. And, he came over to the house and we had breakfast, and my son just wore him ragged. And Brendan Morrison, I continually keep in contact with. I do a couple of fishing trips with him, and I'm sure you've had him on the show. He's doing a fishing show in Vancouver that I've gotten a chance to be a part of for a couple years now. So that's been a great opportunity to be a part of and to visit with him as well. So, you know, those special friendships and stuff will never be replaced. And, you know, it's just a fantastic opportunity to just get together with those guys and sit down and have some dinner and, you know, meet their families and meet their kids is really special.
Well, we've always said Michigan's a big family, and the hockey group are no exception. And it's an expanding family. We keep graduating kids. And, you know, in your day, Blake, your whole class were an exceptional group, and yet you all stayed for 4 years. And that's really a rarity now. It's really hard for the players to stay. I mean, even Jason Botterill, who's now an assistant general manager, probably has to encourage kids to leave early for one reason or another. So, you know, we're losing kids, too many kids too soon. But nevertheless, your class is a memorable class. The 97 class was as good as it gets. And the 97 team was probably the best team I've had at Michigan. And you probably remember some of the scores. It was scary how good that team was. And our team has shown glimpses of that this year, but nothing as a team that was so just about invincible. And even though we got upset in the Frozen Four, you have to remember that team as being as good as it gets.
Are you talking about the one when we got beat by BU?
Yep. Yeah, we won't talk about that game, but we'll talk about that team and that year, you know. And like Brendan said, Brendan said it well at the Hobey Baker ceremony. He said sometimes the best team doesn't win. And, you know, 98, the next year when we did win, we weren't the best team. But we still had Marty Turco, and we had Billy McCault, and we had the nucleus of a team that had won in 96, and they came back and won in 98. And I said then, sometimes the best team doesn't always win. So that's the way it is. I'm getting a signal here, Blake, that they've heard enough of you and enough of me, and they need to end this show. So I'll say goodbye.
And
thanks for calling in from the frozen north. It's about 68 degrees here, so we haven't had winter yet.
Well,
Blake, good talking to you.
It's always a pleasure being on. Thanks, Coach, and say hi to everyone for me, please.
All right, Blake Sloan, just a great man. And a great Michigan man, number 27. We'll always remember him. And we got a scoop now. Big series, guys. Big series. This is the kind of I'm speechless about. We're going to have a great weekend here in Ann Arbor. See you next week on the Red Berenson Show.